You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.
All right, good afternoon. This is Paul. And here, who am I speaking with today?
Do not ask me that. That is not appropriate.
Who is this with whom I am speaking then?
Who are you sharing the platform with?
Yes.
Your mom.
Babe, you can't say that as a parenting podcast. Come on.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Well, I don't know. That's...
All right. I'm Sherry.
Oh, good Lord.
Make you work for that one today.
All right. So we are... Normally, when we do this, we're sitting in Alaska. But today, where are we sitting, babe?
We are in Florida.
We are in Orlando, Florida. Yep. I had to do some training for the military, and so we said, well, if I'm going to Florida, babe, we'll pay for you, and you just come right on down and hang out with me this week. So it's been a good week.
Yes.
Yep. So how are you feeling today, babe?
I am feeling like I want to be outside. Yeah. So
it's hard to get the podcast
up. We are going
to
share our stuff and go outside and have a good time.
So I noticed you've been limping and complaining a lot here the last couple days.
Yeah. We won't be talking about that.
No, listen, they have a great hotel gym here. We have absolutely maximized. I have one.
I have just, yes.
Yeah, you've destroyed it.
I am not happy with what I did.
I love when you work out, but I hate when you complain. So we've been...
That is not okay.
No, we're both kind of crippled right now, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Very much so.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, hey, listen, here we go. If you don't know, I'm Paul, and I'm sitting here with my bride of almost 26 years in August next month. We'll be married 26 years. Can you believe that, babe?
Yep.
26 years. And we have 6 kids ranging from 20 to 12. And, you know, a few years ago, we got this idea of, to start talking about, because we've learned some lessons. Not that we're perfect parents, but we do have some scars. And we've learned some things. You know, there's an old saying that says, a man with a scar knows something. And so we've learned some things, and we just felt like it would be helpful to share with parents who are on a similar journey. And I'll tell you why I think this is so important, babe, because we see it all the time, especially in a military context, right? We see parents, and in a civilian context as well, we see parents who are, they're great leaders. You know, their professional life, they're just crushing it, doing super well, able to lead big organizations, able to lead, you know, hundreds of warriors. But then they go home, and they're absolutely incapacitated by their children because they haven't figured, hey, parenting's hard. It can be. And they haven't figured out how to do it yet. And so we're just like, hey, it can be done. You can parent well. You can enjoy the process. You can enjoy your kids. And we just learned some things along the way that we think are helpful for the first half of your parenting experience. And the first half we define as, you know, from infancy until about that middle school age.
Well, I think it's good, too, to talk about it, because what we found is when we talk with other people, they're like, oh, your kid did that, too?
Right.
Oh, you guys experienced that, too? And I think when parents understand that they are not the only ones or the only children that are going through that same thing, they're like, oh, okay, this is, my kid's not weird, or I'm not a bad parent, or, you know. So I think discussing and talking, I mean, we just become better people when we do it in community rather than alone. So
no, that's a great point. And yeah, for sure. I mean, our kids weren't like, you know, perfect angels. We weren't perfect parents, but, you know, along the way, like I said, we learned some things, and we just kind of wrote them down. And so hence first half parenting. So all right, well, today, you know, we've kind of put it together in such a way, the first half parenting process, we said there are 6 baby steps, and this is our, in this podcast, we're going to talk about the 6th baby step, and it's baby step number 6 is call Mulligan, so we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But the other day, babe, on Facebook, I threw out a question, and I just said, what is the thing you most wrestle with as a parent of young kids? And got some pretty good feedback, you know, great questions, but one in particular stuck out to me. Ashley said that she struggles with patience. This is what she wrote. She said, I get so overstimulated when I'm needed a bazillion times in a minute's worth of time. You know, I mean, if you're a parent, you can appreciate, especially if young kids, right? It reminds me of that clip from I think a Family Guy, where the the little dude is sitting there saying, "Mommy, mommy, 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 mommy,"
and every
mommy,
mother,
mommy, 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 mommy,
has right? experienced that.
Right?
Yes.
No, it's just like, "Good Lord, dude, what?"
Right. Right.
So she said, constantly being needed can be overwhelming for me, and my patience or tolerance level starts to diminish. So we talked about that a little bit. If and she's not the only one. I mean, we've all experienced that.
If you have a child, that is going to be the case.
Right.
So
what were some things that you did that you found helpful, as a parent of multiple children who are, constantly in need, and a husband who's can be pretty needy too?
Yeah. I mean, you and I talked a little bit about this, and one of the things we definitely said was, if you are completely exhausted or worn thin, or just at the end of your rope, that is when that mommy, mommy, mommy is going to be really difficult to deal with. And so I feel like, taking care of yourself is going to be one of the better decisions that you can make. And if you can do that, pretty much on a regular basis, you can find yourself with a little bit more bandwidth and room to have patience for your kids. So I definitely think, if you haven't taken your time, and I think as a mom, it goes back to, again, if your kids are little, enforcing that nap time so that way you have that time, or scheduling. One of the things I did, I kind of created a playroom, because I kind of got tired of the kids' toys in their bedroom, because I felt like when I had toys everywhere, it just caused chaos throughout the whole house. And I would have rather kind of kept it in one room. So we created a playroom, like a room. Do you remember that?
I do.
Where that was the toy room. And it kind of left the rest of the house stay nice. Even if guests were to come, it was a playroom. It could be a little bit of a mess. Anyway, I think creating a schedule and letting the kids know, okay, this is playtime. I want you to go play because mommy is going to work on this. So I think, obviously, creating a nap time gives you some space. And then I think creating some play times. And you are going to have those mommy, mommy, mommy times. But I think when you give yourself some room, and sometimes moms, I would just say there are points where you just need to like take a, I mean, there are times where I just, they're not going to die. You just take a breath. You're just like, take a breath, grab a hold of yourself, and then get down on the other level. And I think just teaching them, to wait their turn, just getting down. I love to get down on my kids' level when they were little and just say, "Hey, one mommy is enough. I will answer you. You need to give me a minute."
Right.
And then just teaching them that's just not okay.
That's actually an interesting point, because I see so many parents teaching their children that the children can interrupt any conversation. And so as soon as a child says, "Hey," the parent interrupts
immediately.
They stop their life.
Yes.
And I will tell you, this is a parenting philosophy thing, but I don't necessarily think the child is the most important person in the room, generally. And obvious exceptions excluded, right? If the child's bleeding, obviously, right? If there's a
as a normal
correct
situation, yes.
They need to learn how to wait their turn.
Yes. And I think
as adults, as mature professional adults, you can't just go up and interrupt conversations,
yeah,
and expect to be, do well professionally. And if we teach our kids that you can just walk up and interrupt and dominate any conversation, we're setting them up for failure, I think.
Well, and not even, let's just talk about it even before adulthood. You're getting ready to send, you're getting ready to send your child to school. Most kids go to attend school.
Right.
I would not want to be a teacher of a child that has not learned
Mommy,
you know, let's not set the teacher up to teach them how to wait their turn. Let's start as a parent to teach them to wait their turn. So I think, parents, if we can, you have this great opportunity when they are, going crazy, just to get on their level, have a conversation. And this could take several times of teaching them, hey.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we've did it. You know, there were multiple times when you, you know, when you were pastoring and the kids would want to come up to you and pull you aside and you were having a serious conversation.
Yeah.
You know, so to teach them, hey, this is not okay. You need, if you see I'm talking and it's not an emergency, you need to wait your turn.
But you teach them to do that, but make sure that you go back and give them space.
Sure,
make sure that
sure.
you go back and give them time. And,
sure.
So a couple things, I think. The first thing is, in, you know, our first baby step is take care of yourself.
Right.
Because
yes.
parents who are exhausted and stressed and mm-hmm. and broke and you haven't worked out or you haven't done spiritual things,
you are going to
snap. If you're not caring for yourself, you've got no bandwidth for that
yes.
little person.
Yes.
Who desperately needs you. You have to figure out space for yourself to do some self-care. It's mission critical, number one. Number two, you said create a place for them. And you did this really well when our kids were little. You would, every day they had quiet time. And they would go to that place and they would play or they would read or they would take a nap or they would watch a movie. It was an hour or two of just quiet time for you. And you can read or take a nap or clean or do whatever, you work out. Or.
And it wasn't just for me, if you think about this. It was teaching the child as well.
Right.
That they could self-entertain.
Yeah, so big.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and that, I think, even in creating that playroom time, that was time for them in their room to self-entertain while I maybe washed up the dishes or I folded laundry or... Because truthfully, we need to teach our kids that we are not their continual playmate.
Correct.
They can self-entertain.
Yep.
So I think in doing that, you know, or creating that quiet time, created that self time for them to entertain themselves, which
yeah.
is big.
That's good. Well, yeah. That was good. Anything else on that, babe?
No, I just think, you know, Ashley, you are, you know, this is part of raising little people and training them. You know, there are moments where, you know, it does get, you have those overwhelming moments. And then I think that's where you stop and you say, okay, this is not working. And you put some plans into place to help.
Right.
Yeah.
And don't feel bad about it.
No.
You know, don't feel bad about it. It's good for them. It's good for you. Because if you're constantly accessible to anyone, but to your children in this instance, if you're constantly accessible, at some point you're going to run out of good things to offer.
Yes. I would too say, you know, if there is a way, you know, obviously teaching your child is a big deal, but too, I think that, you know, if a spouse comes home from work and they haven't been with the kids, it is their turn.
Right. Right.
You know, I think understanding that parent does need a break is a big deal. And, you know, whether it's finding a babysitter or another parent or, you know, there are points where, again, you need that reprieve. So just taking care of yourself, too,
yep.
helps a lot. So
good. Good, good, good. Hey, to all you who responded to that question, that was awesome. Thank you very much. All right, so let's talk about mulligans, babe. It is baby step number 6. Remind us, babe, of the baby steps for first half parents. What are they?
So number one, we just talked about it. You want to take care of yourself. And then the second thing is you want to create a great environment. Number three, you want to become the teacher. Number four, you want to get a PhD in your child. Number five, which we talked about in the last session, was you want to learn how to discipline. And today is number 6, calling some mulligans.
Calling mulligans. All right. So, mulligan. If you don't know what a mulligan is, I didn't know what a mulligan was until this was a few years ago. I had a friend who was a golfer. He's like, Paul, you ought to take up golf. So I went out and found a cheap set of golf clubs and took up golf and quickly learned what a mulligan was. So let me read to you the Wikipedia entry for mulligan. Now, we use Wikipedia because we want to only use the finest sources of information here on First Half Parenting. So here we go. Wikipedia says a mulligan is a second chance to perform an action, usually after the first chance went wrong through bad luck or a blunder. Its best known meaning is in golf, whereby a player is informally allowed to replay a stroke. Right? I love that idea. I tried, I swung real hard, and I totally duffed the ball or drove into the woods or picked up half an acre of lawn with my driver, completely screwed it up. I need a second shot. And, as a golfer, I'll be honest with you, I didn't golf long because it was just like, I got tired of being crushed by a tiny white ball. Stupid. So I gave my golf clubs up, and maybe someday when I'm more patient and have more money.
Yeah, you did that. You did that when you were pretty young, so.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. I needed.
You didn't have a lot of time.
Right.
And I think you were just a lot more impatient.
No doubt. Yeah. And then I went with this old Italian guy. Remember
he was
Anthony?
Really good.
Yeah, the guy could barely walk from his, it took him 10 minutes to get from his car, to the clubhouse, but then he could pick up a driver and like crush it 300 yards. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, he was really good. So
anyway, so as a parent, the truth is like there are plenty of times in which you're going to, your first shot, you're just going to totally screw it up. You're going to mess it up and you need to go back and take a second shot at it. And we want to tell you as parents, it's okay to call for a mulligan, to say, I need a do-over. One of my favorite parenting stories, it's not really a parenting story, but it's a parable. I don't know if you guys have heard of Steve Wynn. He is a billionaire. He owns some casinos in Las Vegas. And this happened a few years ago. It's a true story. He had a painting of Pablo Picasso's called Le Rêve. It's a painting of of one of his mistresses, and he sold this painting for $139 million, babe.
Yeah, that's
$139 million for this painting. So the day afterwards, they were having a party, just to celebrate the sale of the painting, et cetera. And Wynn was talking, and as he was gesturing, he backed up, and he was moving his arms around, gesticulating, and he actually put his elbow through the painting. It was about the size of a coin, and literally poked a hole in the painting. So, of course, at that point, the deal's off. The person's like, well, I don't want the painting now. It's got a hole in it.
Sure.
So one mistake, one careless mistake, ruined $139 million sale.
I can't imagine.
I know. Just, oh, gosh. And, he just said, look, he was later on 60 Minutes. They were doing an interview asking about it. He's like, look, people make mistakes. And he's right. People do make mistakes.
What is he going to do?
Yeah, no, the truth is, people make mistakes.
Right.
But few of them are as costly as his.
Yes.
Although everyone makes. And as I listened to that story, I remember thinking this. Children are like rubber Picassos. They're incredibly valuable, but not easily destroyed. Right? They're incredibly valuable, but they're not generally going to be ruined with a single mistake. Obvious exceptions excluded, sexual abuse, things of that nature.
Sure, sure.
Here's the thing, Dad. Here's the thing, Mom. You're not going to ruin your child because you did something stupid. You're not going to ruin your child because you missed a ball game. You're not going to ruin a child because you didn't adequately celebrate a birthday. It's a mistake, right? And your child is amazingly resilient. They have a rubber-like ability to bounce back from your mistakes without destroying their beauty and diminishing their value. So I guess I just want to kick this off by just encouraging you. You're going to make mistakes. And most of the mistakes that you make are not going to permanently damage your child.
Yes.
Okay. So, what do you do when you realize I've made a mistake? I've been parenting in an unhealthy way. I've been doing things that are not productive or helpful for my child. Because here's the thing. Even though your child is a rubber Picasso, one mistake's not going to ruin it. But if you keep banging that same spot over and
over and over,
over time, you will degrade the quality of the art.
Yes, yes.
So I guess as a parent, one of the things we need to do is constantly be assessing, right? We're talking about parenting. We're thinking about parenting. We're reflecting on our own attitudes and actions with our kids. And if I see, hey, I'm making a mistake, don't keep making the same mistake because that, over time, will, in fact, negatively impact your child.
Yes.
So you're cruising along, you see, hey, I'm making a mistake. I need to call a mulligan. And that's what this whole conversation is about.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
You want to say anything there?
Nope.
You got nothing? You said like single word. Yes. Yes, no, yes, no.
No, okay. I mean, that is right. That is right. You can't keep... you had made the point. You can't keep making the same... I was going to say the same mistake over and over.
Right.
Because at some point you will do... You will do some sort of damage.
Correct. Correct. Okay, so... What do you do when you need to call a mulligan? What do you do when you realize I've made a mistake? I need a second shot at this. I need to start over. So this is super simple stuff here, but I think it needs to be said. The first thing you have to do simply is this. When you realize that you've made a mistake, you got to own it.
Yeah.
You literally need to say, I'm making a mistake here. This is not right what I'm doing. I'm not handling business well.
I want to say sometimes as a parent, you know, it can almost feel... sometimes as adults, we can feel like we don't need to, it's almost like you overlook that for a child. You see what I'm saying? Like you, that mistake, you might just overlook it and just chalk it up. Oh, they're little. They don't see it. They don't understand it. They don't. but I really think that, you know, truthfully, I think number one, they do see it. And number two, you're setting an example of what it looks like when you mess up.
Yes.
So it's really important for you to own your mistake for them. No matter how big or, you know, how little the child is.
I 100% agree with that.
Obviously, you know, I mean, an infant isn't going to probably understand it as quickly as a toddler would start to understand it, you know. But
or even
I still,
elementary school, obviously.
I still think just, yeah. I mean, there were many times where even my little baby, I would be, you know, just like, oh, man, you know, mommy's so sorry. She didn't mean to do that, you know.
Right.
So I think just instead of kind of ignoring it, I think keeping it, you know, in the forefront and owning it.
I think this happened several years ago. I was pastoring a church at that point, and I had taught a lesson at church, and during this lesson I told the story of a man who was walking and texting, and he literally walked over a cliff and he died. Right? And I made the point that he lost the most important thing because he was distracted by insignificant things. He lost his life because he was distracted by insignificant things.
Yeah.
Later that day, my kids were trying to talk to me, and I was staring at my phone. And one of my daughters spoke up, and she said, Dad, this is exact quote, Dad, you are walking off a cliff.
Yeah.
And I, in that moment, I realized, oh, my gosh, you're exactly right, buddy. She saw it, she called it.
Yeah.
She just said it. And I will tell you that, you know, kids are often gifted with intuition, but not so much discretion. You know, they see things, they're just not always... I mean, they'll just say.
But I think that's
what they say.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful,
right?
And so at that point, I realized, you know,
you had a choice to make.
I have a choice to make, and the best thing I can do is to absolutely acknowledge it. And I will tell you, this stupid phone continues to be, you know, a struggle. Like for me, I
so is it the phone or is it you?
No, it's me.
You say stupid phone. I mean, now, I don't know that it's a stupid phone. I think maybe it's the person, right?
All right, this is getting awkward. Dave, stop right now.
Oh,
no.
Gosh.
So I literally the other day, this was a couple weeks ago, we're talking about it with the kids, and we created a plan. We'll talk about it in a minute, but this is when I come in. You're right. I am on my phone too much. And so we created a plan on how we're going to deal with it. But the first thing is, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but the first thing is you simply have to own it. You have to acknowledge, like, I'm not doing this well. And you're right. I am, right now, I'm making a mistake.
Yeah. I mean, I had just an instance the other day where we had been talking about speaking clearly.
Right.
Because we have a phrase that says, being clear is...
Clear is kind.
Is kind.
Unclear is unkind.
Yeah.
Comes from Brene Brown.
Yes. Well, and so I'm walking, and one of the girls had asked me a question, and I was like... I think she had said, hey, Mom, maybe where's your phone? And I was like, downstairs. And I was upstairs, and she was like, Mom. You know, she uses the clear
that.
Is kind, unclear is unkind. And yeah. I was like, you know, so then that. I'm like... Oh my word, you're right. So your kids, our kids are listening and they want you to back up. So I was like, yeah, you're right. You know, just backing up and owning the fact that, man, instead of being like, you know what I mean, you know,
yes.
I could have done, and I have done that sometimes, like, you know what I mean. Instead, just saying, you know what, you're right. I need to be more specific. So owning it is, yes.
And
those are two examples.
do not make excuses. Like, just if you realize it, or if your child points it out to you, own it. Don't make excuses. Acknowledge it. And so I will tell you, the best gift you can give to your child is to make no mistakes.
Yeah, that's funny.
Right. I mean, the best gift you can give to your child is to make no mistakes ever.
Right.
Right? Of course, that's not going to happen. So the second best gift you can give to your child is to acknowledge those mistakes.
Yes.
Say, yeah, you know what, buddy, you're right. Yeah, you just called me on it.
Yep.
You're right. Acknowledge them. And I will tell you, two things happen when you own it. When you own your mistakes, two things happen. Number one, it gives you power. Because I've learned this. If I made it, I can change it. You know, if I'm making this decision, I can make another decision. So if I... But if it's not my fault, if I make excuses, I can't change anything that I'm excusing. I have to own it. And as soon as I own it, I get power to change it. So that's the first thing that happens. The second thing that happens is that it gives my child hope. Because if they hear me say, you know what, you are right. This is wrong. I am making a mistake. It gives them hope that something's going to happen, that I am going to change. I would say also that it affirms their discernment. You know, all of a sudden they're like, oh, hey, I made a call. I saw Dad doing something and I pointed it out to him. And he believes me. He respects my discernment. So I think it does something for them as well. So number one, own it. If you're making a mistake and you need to call a mulligan, just own it. Say it out loud.
Yes. All
right. Number two, this is really, it's just going to be so obvious when I say it. Change it.
Yeah.
Change it.
Well, I mean, it is obvious, but some people don't. You know,
right.
You can own it and then do nothing about it.
And I will tell you, if you do that, over time, your child will lose hope. There's a proverb that says, hope deferred makes a heart sick.
Yeah.
And there, I would argue that there are lots and lots of adults whose parents along the way admitted, I'm making a mistake. Yeah,
but they kept...
I'm drinking too much.
Yep.
Or I'm never paying attention to you, or I'm always too busy to go to your games, or... whatever. They would own the mistake, but they never changed it. And over time,
yes,
that child lost hope and their heart became sick.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of adults today who have sick hearts because they lost hope somewhere along the way that their parents would change. And so I would say to you as a parent, owning it is great, but it's only the first step. If you don't change, you're going to create a sick-hearted child.
Yeah. I think it teaches them something that you don't want to teach your child, you know? I mean, if you own it and do nothing about it, we're such big examples for our children, and to leave them with only one part of the fixing of the situation is just, I don't know, you know?
And here's the thing about changing it. To change it is not generally complicated. It requires... I would argue it requires a 1-3-step plan.
But a lot of times the thing that you're working on is difficult. So the situation is easy, or the steps are easy, but it's not. I mean, for instance, your phone.
Yes.
You know, it's a very difficult, when we have so much of our life tied into that phone.
Yes.
It is a very difficult thing for us to say, this is now no longer important.
Ronald Reagan said, that there are simple answers to many of our problems. They're simple but hard. You know, so for instance, you know, we're just talking about me and my phone. So I sat down with one of our kids a couple weeks ago. We said, you're right. I'm on my phone a lot when I'm home. So we created a one-step plan, right? And that is, when I come home, there's a little dish on our bookshelf, and I'm going to put my phone in there and put the ringer on.
Right.
So that if it rings,
right,
I'll hear that. People don't generally text in an emergency. They'll call.
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to put my phone in that bowl, and I don't pick it up unless or until it rings. Or it's bedtime. I might check my phone before I go to bed.
Sure. You have limits on it,
right,
though.
But I'm not going to be, as soon as I walk in the door, staring at my phone for the evening. It's going to be in that bowl. It's a one-step plan to change. My child identified a problem. My children, and you've done it too, babe. You've pointed out, hey, this is a thing. It's a problem. So I own it. Yes, you're right. I'm on my phone too much. Now I have to change it.
Right.
In order to change, I need a simple plan. And again, I'm going to argue for a 1-3-step plan. For us, it's a 1-step plan. You walk in the door, you put your phone in the thing with the ringer on, and you leave it there until you go to bed.
Well, I talked about my clarity, you know, and that's just a simple decision to think through that when you make, because I could yell again, my kids could say, hey, mom, where's your purse? And I could yell downstairs and immediately catch myself and go, okay, it's here. You know what right. I'm saying? So it literally is not, it's almost just, you know, you're, like you said, it's not a hard, it's hard, but it's, the steps are not hard.
It's simple, but it's hard to change.
Yes.
You know, I'm a chaplain. I've got responsibility for several hundred soldiers. They could reach out to me at any point. I'm in multiple group chats, and they're blowing up all the time. Most of the things, I would say 90% of the messages that come over my phone do not need an immediate response.
Right, right.
I don't need to read them right now.
Right.
What I do need to do is pay attention to my kids.
Yes.
And pay attention to my wife.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I need to do. So it's a, but it's hard to draw away from there, you know.
To make the change.
It's hard to do that. So it's a simple plan to execute a hard action change.
Well, I was sitting here thinking, you know, like, if you don't do that, I mean, your word means something, right?
It does.
And if you don't change, your word means nothing.
If you don't change, your children will lose hope.
Yeah.
They'll say, Dad's not going to listen to me. You know, he's not going to change.
And they're probably, I mean, truthfully, are they going to want to confront you again in the future?
Probably
because
not.
They're going to be like, well, he's not going to do anything about it anyway. So why would we say something?
Right.
You know, so.
Hope deferred makes a heart sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man. Ugh. Jeez. I feel a little bad about that. I'm going to put my phone up. My stupid phone.
Well.
All right. So there it is. I mean, if you realize you're making a mistake, own it. And change it. And to change it really is just a simple plan, a simple 1-3-step plan. Okay, anything else to say on that bit?
Well, and your kids, I mean, like, really pay attention to the things that they're, you know, pointing out to you. Because a lot of times, you know, we, as adults, sometimes we just shrug them off, right? Like,
right.
We kind of are like, well, hey, I mean, you could easily say, Dad's got to work. Like, this is part of his job, blah, 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 you know? And in the meantime, you know, again, I think you're making their heart sick even by not even owning it, right? Because they're trying to communicate with you something and you're not hearing it. So I think you have to evaluate, you know, is this really, like, when my child is speaking this way, is it really affecting them as a person? And how do I need to own it and change it?
And yeah,
because not everything, right? I mean, we talked about that. Not everything needs to be changed.
100%
or owned.
That is a perfect segue into our final point, and that is that your kids aren't always right.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean,
I mean, what they see as a parenting mistake,
right,
and what you see as a parenting mistake, are not always the same thing.
Yes.
So, you know, the truth is that if we let our kids do everything they wanted, they would stay up till 2 a.m. They would live on a diet of Sour Patch Kids and talkies. You know,
yes.
They would just, you know, when they're small, I mean, fortunately our kids are through this, but their hygiene habits would be an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
You know, they would watch TV all the time. They wouldn't move. You know what I'm saying? When they're young. Now that they're older, they've embraced some great disciplines, but we've taught them, right?
Right.
So, again, when they're younger, they're not always right, but they are sometimes right. And so, as a parent, your job is to listen,
right,
to hear them. Is what they're saying, is it true? Is it making sense?
And I think as a parent, you will know.
You will.
When your kid comes to you, you know, and says, hey, Dad, you're always on your phone, or hey, mom, you're always talking with your girlfriend and I never get your time.
Right.
You're gonna know if that, I mean, yeah, you'll know.
and so let me just say this though. Be careful about calling mulligans when you're tired or you're exhausted. Because sometimes calling for a mulligan is an easy way out of a right but a hard to enforce decision. So for instance, there was a time where one of our children was in trouble and she had wanted to go to sleepover and we were not going to allow her because she had, you know, done something, and I can't remember exactly the thing, but I remember the instance. We said, you cannot go to the sleepover. And which was annoying to me because you and I had planned for an evening out. And it was going to, I mean, you and I were going to have a nice evening together, a nice meal, we're going to have a movie. But now the fact that she was going to be home meant we had to change our plans. And she kept saying, oh, it's not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair. And I remember relenting and being like, you know what, you know, maybe it's not fair. And I'm just going to, let me start over. So essentially I called a mulligan and said, fine, you can go to your friend's house. In hindsight, I called a mulligan, not because I made a mistake, but because I was tired.
Yeah.
I didn't want to deal with it.
Yes.
And so I called a mulligan, but I called it for the wrong reason, right? The mulligan wasn't because I was actually making a mistake. I called a mulligan because I was just tired and annoyed and frustrated. That was a bad parenting move.
Yeah.
You know,
and she kept asking. It was like that mommy, right. Mommy, 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 mommy.
Right.
Again, back to Ashley's question. You were exhausted. You should maybe have taken care of yourself. Or at that point when you were exhausted, you should have just deferred to, yeah, this is the right thing and stuck with it, right?
Right.
But.
Right. And so I would bet most parents have done that. They've relented.
Yes.
Because they're just tired.
How many times have you bought something that you really didn't?
Yes. Yes.
Didn't have the money to buy, but your kid kept asking.
Right.
And so you were like, oh, well, little Johnny did such and such the other day, so let's just get it. So you almost made an excuse for, you know, getting it instead of standing to the, standing true.
You know, and I will tell you that there are definitely times as a parent that it's the right thing to do to call a mulligan. Just say, hey, I did not do that right. I need a second shot at that. And so when those moments come, own it and change it. But I will also tell you this, that you don't always need to call mulligans, right? Because a lot of times what you're doing is, in fact, you're doing the right thing. You know, sometimes it's just hard to be a parent and make those tough calls. So I would just encourage you, if you are in that moment with your children or your child, and you're trying to figure out whether or not you should call a mulligan, I think it's probably fair to go back and reflect on, you know, we've talked about this before, just creating a home environment, you know, where you identify your values, like what is important in our home. And if your decisions, if your actions are not violating the values that are important in your home, I don't think you need to call a mulligan. I think you need to press on. And so stay the course, you know, work with your kid, figure out how to help them, you know, navigate their little chaos, but you don't need to call a mulligan just because they are throwing a fit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
They went their way.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, here's what I've realized. Like, golfers need a mulligan every now and then, but most shots are playable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
you should not be having mistakes every other
you're
day.
If you're calling mulligans every, you know, every day, every week, at some point you got to say, okay,
you need to take some time out.
I'm not this bad of a parent.
Or you need to take some time out, right?
You're burned out. Yeah. I mean, the truth of the matter is most of your decisions as a parent are playable. Like, you're in play. You know, you may need to make some tweaks, but in terms of just completely starting over, I would just say you're probably doing a little better than what you might think. You know, there are definitely times where you're going to have to make some course corrections, call a mulligan. But just keep in mind, your child is a rubber Picasso. They're a work of incredible value and worth. But they're not generally destroyed by one mistake. They can be injured by the same mistake repeated over and over and over and over and over.
Right.
But as a parent, if you're self-aware and you've worked through the baby steps, one of which was get a PhD in your child, you're aware of your child, you're aware of yourself, you're going to course correct.
And children are so forgiving. You know, like I want to just encourage parents, when you do own it and change it, I mean, children are, they're going to be your biggest cheerleaders. They're so forgiving. I mean, there have been many times that our kids will say, you know, when you apologize, they're just, Dad, I love you. It's okay. You know,
absolutely.
Or if you're putting your phone up, Dad, I see your phone's up, you know, like good for you. And I mean, so children are very resilient. They're very forgiving. They're very, they just want you to keep your word.
Yeah.
You know, you're setting an example for them of what it looks like to own it and then do something about it and say, this is, I'm going to keep my word to you. I mean, that is going to go a long way in the future when they need to own something and keep their, you know, and change it and keep their word.
Yep.
So, yeah, we set the pace.
We do. So, well, I want to wrap up with, you know, this material that we're talking about is going to be in book form. And I will tell you that at the end of this will be a chapter in the book. At the end of this chapter, I just wrote something about the first half parenting process, and I want to share it with you now and kind of wrap up this episode. Parenting in the first half is important. It's challenging and inspiring. You will learn new things regularly. You'll be forced to apologize often. You'll say the same things repeatedly. You'll watch in awe as your kids do something prodigy-like, then moments later do something that absolutely mortifies you. You will laugh, cry, think, curse, pray, teach, and learn. These are all parts of the parenting in the first half. Enjoy it. Do it with passion. And give it your very best effort. It's worth it. The second half is coming.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's beautiful.
And, so guys, listen. You're going to make mistakes. The best gift you can give your child is to not make any mistakes, but you will make mistakes. So the second best gift you can give to your kids, when you make a mistake, own it. And change it. Call them all of it.
Yes.
All right. Hey, to all of you who have reached out to us and let us know that you're listening to this podcast, we want you to know we appreciate it. To those of you who share this with other parents, with your friends, gosh, we appreciate it. It's such, we think that as parents, if we can continue the conversation, it's helpful. And so we thank you for that. We encourage you. We've got some other resources. Our YouTube channel, just get on YouTube, type in First Half Parenting. Now, we've got a website, firsthalfparenting.com. There's resources on there. There's a recommended reading list. We've got ebooks on there. So I encourage you to check that out. And you can also find this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbean. Just type in First Half Parenting. All right, babe, what do you got for us as we're on the way out the door?
That is it. I'm excited to go put my toes in some warm some warm weather.
Yeah, I know. We're looking out the window and looking at a big old pool out there. So,
but you guys got this. It's just really great to, you know, just to share with you our thoughts and to walk alongside you as your parent. You know, kids are beautiful. And, man, Paul and I are down here, you know, this week, and I just told him, I'm like, if I had to live life with just you and I, or live life, you know, and not be able to come and get away, or live life with our kids, I would live life with our kids every time. So kids are beautiful. They add so much beauty to our lives. And we're just grateful to be able to give you some tips along the way. Yeah.
Yep. Hey, we love you guys. We're proud of you. You're doing good work. You're raising up a generation of leaders and, you know, a generation of people who's going to, you know, make the world go round. So stay with it. And let us know what's going on, how we can help. Let us know what kind of questions you have, and we will chat at you later.
See ya.
See ya.
You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.